Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
How many of you have been listening to the news lately? It's pretty depressing, isn't it? Yeah. You know, the negativity that's being broadcast right now is almost continuous, and very little good is being broadcast. We're like hyper-focused on all that's wrong with the world and with America and with each other, that we have trouble seeing what's good. And I just took a little road trip with my parents, and I took them down to Georgia to see my aunt, my mother's sister, and she's 96, and my parents are 90 and 88, and I took them by myself, and it's the most driving I've done alone. Done a lot of driving, but Chris, I usually have somebody that can drive me. And I wasn't about to let my dad. I'll tell you, he would have so helped me, but I just can't, like I would just get too nervous. He just has one eye, and bless his heart, he still stays on the road. But I don't know. Anyway, I wasn't gonna go there with him, and he didn't. He knew better. But the thing about that trip was that I saw nothing but good with America on that trip. There's a lot of bad things happening, but I felt safe. People treated me with respect. I treated them with respect. It was just a wonderful trip all around. I had trouble with my, I got a flat tire. Fortunately, I was already at my cousin's when that happened, and it was taken care of. It was just an all-around good experience, and it made me think, you know, we're so focused on what's wrong. We're hearing all that's bad or could be bad or is going to get bad. It's going to get worse. America is on the verge of anarchy, is what some are saying, and that could be. But what do we do? What do we do with it? And how do we think about that? And how can we change things? We're always pointing the finger and saying, "What's the government going to do about it?" Well, the government, honestly, is powerless to change some of this because it's heart issues, and you can't legislate heart issues. You can't put another program to make a heart better. That has to come from those of us that know how to make the heart better, know who can, right? We know Jesus, and he's the only one that can make the heart better, but what are we doing about spreading that good news? What are we doing? You know, instead of pointing the finger at each other and declaring and claiming and looking and point, you know, at what's all wrong, we need to start taking a look at how I and you personally, we need to put that finger back at us and say, what am I thinking about this, and what am I going to do about it? Because it's going to come from, do they call that grassroots? When it comes up from the people themselves that start making a shift and make a turn and start making things right, because the government's not going to do it. If you're relying on the government, you're going to be disappointed, because bless their hearts, they tend to make things worse sometimes before it gets better. So it's up to us as Christians. We have the good news. We know the one that is the physician of our hearts, and we need to spread that word, and we need to be that word. We need to be love. The Lord's really been dealing with me a lot lately about love. A few years ago, I don't know how long it's been. Honey, do you remember when we went to Israel? 7 years? 7 or 8 years? 5 years? Wow. Time flies. Seems like a longer time than that. But we went to, on a trip to Israel. And at one point, they took us out in the desert where Jesus was. It was like a place that he would have gone to do the 40 days and 40 nights when he was taken into the desert by the Spirit and then tempted by Satan. And when we were there, we were sitting just looking over the desert, and it's really a arid place. And our leader said, I want you to split up into twos, and I want you to start praying forever for each other. And I want you to ask them to pray for the thing you want most in your heart. The thing you want most, that God, you want God to do for you. So we started, I really put some thought into that. And the girl that was with me asked me that question, what is it you want God to do for you? And my flesh wanted to say, I want healing. But my heart said, I want to love God the way Jesus loved Father. I want to love Papa the way Jesus loved Papa. And she looked at me and she said, you've asked a hard thing. And I didn't realize what she meant then. But as I've gone on to in this journey with the Lord, when you ask for that kind of love, it is selfless. You are taken to the end of self. You become not self-focused. More and more, God draws you into a place where you become God-focused rather than self-focused. We tend to be, when we're pointing the finger at everybody else, it's because we're self-focused. We're not God-focused because we're not seeing what God sees in that person. We're not looking at them through the eyes of love. We're looking at them through the eyes of condemnation and judgment. And when we condemn and judge others, it's because that makes us feel better, right? It's self-elevating. It elevates us. It makes us feel better. It makes us, I know everything that's wrong with you, and nothing's wrong with me. What's the Bible say about that? To get the log out of your own eye first, right? So how do we get that log out? I mean, we need to look at it. We need to take an honest look at ourselves. Right now, a lot of fear is rising in America, throughout the world, not just America, with ISIS and all these groups that are hate-filled. And then even in America, what's happening with our own people killing each other. Take a moment and let yourself feel God's heart for that. Because I didn't until just now. That's very sad. We're turning on our own people. We do it every day in abortion. They have no voice. We're turning on our own people. We need to be the ones that make a difference. Nobody else is going to. It needs to come from the church. The church. We are supposed to love. We're supposed to be a voice of love. We're supposed to be a voice that knows how to bring unity and peace, deliverance, to bring a better way. Jesus is the way. Are we loving or are we pointing the finger? When you see somebody of a different culture, when you see, you know, I'm really getting a bit sensitive to this whole issue of discrimination. It's not just between African Americans and white. It's between male and female. It's between I've got a degree, you don't have a degree. I'm rich, you're poor. It crosses all cultural boundaries, all economic boundaries, all race, all even within races, even how you're dressed. We look at each other and we size each other up, and then we make a judgment that makes me feel better. And I even see it, I'm becoming more sensitive because as I get older, now that I'm a senior citizen, being 64, you start thinking, I don't feel old, but I'm very aware of now I'm starting to hear, when I hear those comments, oh, that old duffer, he really made a bad move there driving, or he was going so slow, or he did this, or she did that, that old lady. Or I hear those age comments, and that makes me sad because I know very well, because I was young, and I know I really made some stupid mistakes driving. But nobody says, oh, that young woman. But they're quick to point out if it's an older person. And you all know it. You hear those comments. There's jokes all over YouTube. Not YouTube. Facebook. There's jokes all over Facebook about age, that are age-related. It's or female, women, jokes about wives or men that are derogatory. And we laugh at those and we think nothing of it until you're in that position. And so now that I'm getting in that position, I'm becoming a little bit more sensitive. Or aware of it, I should say. I'm not sensitive to it, but aware of it. Because I know that in a few more years, I'm gonna look the part. Right now, I can get by with it. I don't necessarily look my age, whatever that means. But so I can get by with it. But in a few years, that's going to catch up with me. A few short years, probably. And so then I'm gonna be even more aware. So right now, I'm thinking about across the board how we're treating each other. Christian versus non-Christian. Baptist versus Methodist. Catholic versus charismatic. And you know what the problem is? It's a disease of the heart. We're not loving. We're not loving Father the way Jesus loved Father, because when you love Father the way Jesus loves Father, then you become God-focused. And when you're God-focused and not self-focused, you love what God loves, and you hate what God hates. And what God hates is sin, not people. So we need to become God-focused, because we love, and love is like faith. Faith is an action word. Love is an action word. Love is an action word. If you say you love and you don't do something about it, then you're not loving very deep. It's lip service, right? So we need to do something about it. Our love needs to be put in action in order for it to be authentic. But we tend to be fearful. What will they think? Oh, my word, what are they going to think if I go volunteer at the food pantry? Or what are they going to think if I walk up and pray for that person or help them with their groceries? Or what? Those random acts of kindness? Every single person here has an opportunity almost every day of your life, unless you're housebound, to do an act of kindness to somebody. I'm talking to me too. God's really dealing with this with me. I have a, I've told you before about my little cabin in the spirit realm. And the Lord showed me yesterday that my cabin has a really lush piece of ground around it. And I've known that. I've seen it. But I've never zoomed out and looked at my cabin from a distance. And yesterday, he showed me that on the edge of my cabin, of the ground, is a vast desert. So I can be very comfortable in my little cabin. And I can walk around it and be happy there, and it's beautiful, and I have everything I need or ever wanted. It's full. It's full of abundance of God's mercies and love and grace. It's full of things for me to give out. But I can't give them out with that desert around me. And that desert is a love issue. I mean, I love. I don't think anybody would say that I'm a hateful person. But we tend to pick and choose who we love. We tend to pick and choose just how far we'll go with that, or how close we'll let somebody get in. And you all know what I'm talking about, because I know I'm not the only one with the desert around my house, my cabin. We all put up those barriers in order to keep us safe. We learn it from when we're children. We get rejected. We get have a harsh parent, or get hurt in school, or whatever, friends reject us, whatever starts happening, and our little hearts start to get hard in places. And let me tell you, for years I have worked on this. I have given the Lord my heart. I love his people. But there's a depth of love that goes far beyond what most of us tap into. That's loving God the way Jesus loved him, loving the Father unto death. Jesus totally self-sacrificed. His goal was to live to do the will of Father. He loved us because Father loved us so much that he became so God-focused, so focused on Father, that his own life meant nothing. And he gave it. In John chapter 15, verse 12. He's saying the same thing to us. We're like the manifest presence of Jesus Christ on this earth. Nobody's going to be Jesus but you. If you've got Jesus in your heart, if you've accepted him as Lord and Savior, then you are filled with Holy Spirit. And you're the only one that can be Jesus to that person in the grocery store, or that person even going down the road that you can give a smile to, or whatever it is that you have an opportunity to have that act of kindness. You're the only one that can do it in that moment. If you don't do it, the moment passes. It says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." So Jesus gave, he was our example, right? "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Jesus, that is no greater love than you lay down your life for your friends. That's love. And Jesus is asking nothing of us that he didn't do himself. Not one thing that he's asked us to do, did he not do it? That's why he has the right to ask us to do it. He loves. God is a God of love. Oh, my word. We need to get that. So how do we go about changing us in our hearts to get to that place where we love? I have now extended the ground on my cabin, and I'm working on no desert. And I'll throw a big party when I get there. But I want no desert between at all, between me and people. I want no self-protection. That's what that is. That's what that desert is. It's self-protection. It's self-comfort. That's all that is. We put guards on our heart to protect us from getting hurt, because love can hurt. Love costs us something. It is an action word. You can't just twiddle your thumbs and say, I love you. You have to do something. So one of the things we can do is watch what comes out of our mouth, right? We're either blessing or we're cursing when we're talking to people. Even our nation. We're either blessing our nation or we're cursing it. What do you say about America? That it's a terrible place, the government is awful, all this negativity? What would it be like if all of us as Christians rise up and started blessing our nation? If we started speaking blessing and praying, God, intervene and bless, rather than condemning even the running politicians. I am so not political, but I do know who's running for president this year. But to even bless them, no matter how you feel about either one, to bless them, because it's the blessing of God that's going to turn them around. It's not the cursing. It's not our cursing or speaking bad about them. It's the blessing that's going to turn this around. Yes. For God to intervene and to step in and do something that would put people in their path, that would show them Jesus, the reality of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. No unwholesome word. What are the words that are coming out of our mouth? How do you treat those people? How do you speak people around you? Even road rage. You know, honestly, I used to have, you just would not believe what would go on in my head if somebody got in my way. I mean, I could envision all kinds of like cannons and the end of my car and just blow them out of smithereens. You know, it was terrible. I didn't speak those things, but in my head it was like going on. And I was like, God, you got to clean that up. I don't want to think that way anymore. And I don't. You know what? Now I have great grace for those people, because I'm very aware when I make the same mistake. I'm very aware. I'm learning to point the finger this way, not in condemnation, but in such a way that it gives me grace for others. So I can see the log in my own eye and bless them. And work on my log. So we don't want to do that in condemnation, but we want to be aware of what we're thinking, what we're saying, what's coming out of our mouth. Last thing as Christians that we want to do is curse. Even in your prayers, be careful, because you can pray prayers of witchcraft as a Christian. Anytime you start praying and you start trying to manipulate, like, oh, God, I just pray that you would touch my brother-in-law in such a way that he would lose his job and he would lose his home and his car and everything, so that he would come to his knees and repent and for what he's doing right now. That's manipulation. And that's witchcraft. So you don't want to do that. You want to bless your brother-in-law or your whoever it is with the revelation of Jesus. You want Jesus to arrest them, arrest their heart, you know, to fall in love. Because it is love that redeems. It is love that restores. It is love that builds up. It is love that rescues. It is love that makes us strong. It's love. It is nothing else. It is the greatest force in the universe is love. Their enemy's ability to destroy and steal, kill, and destroy is powerless against love. Unless we, as Christians, agree with his scheme to kill, steal, and destroy. So be careful who you're agreeing with. Because in the moment is a powerful moment. You can change somebody's life in a moment. All it takes is a moment. You can, if you're married, you can speak a moment of destruction to your spouse or a moment of blessing. Make it very personal. Get personal with this. How do you speak at home? Are you, because at home is the place that we usually let it go. Because we know that person's more than likely not going to walk out the door. So we're most free to be mean or grouchy or critical or whatever it is, condemning. That's when we can get really ugly. So what do you like there? What's your words like? Are you blessing? Are you edifying? Are you God-focused or self-focused? In chapter 5 of Ephesians, let me back up a minute. In verse 30, in chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. You know, if we were living like that, there wouldn't be this racial issue. It wouldn't be there. It wouldn't be an age issue or gender issue. We wouldn't be killing our babies. And it has to start with us, guys. It has to start with us. We're the ones that have God in us, and he wants out. We're to look different than the world. We're to be different than the world. And it's not just lip service. For centuries, we've had lip service. It's time to stop letting that wind flap our lips. That's all it is, unless it's coming from the heart. When it comes from the heart, then there's action behind it. In chapter 5, it says in verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Did you get that? Be imitators of God as beloved children. So just like a little child imitates its parents, have you ever watched little children? I bet you guys with these little guys right here, you watch them, and they're watching you. And they try to walk like you. They try to fit in your shoes or put on your clothes. They're so cute, you know? But they're trying to be like mom or dad. We're to do that very same thing with Jesus and Papa. We want to look like them, so we're to imitate them. And what did Jesus do? He died for us. He was not self-focused. It wasn't about him, although it was all about him. But his love redeemed us so that we can love. It's for relationship. God wants relationship. He created us for relationship. And God is love. And that's the only kind of relationship he can relate to. Do you ever think about that? God can only relate to love. He can't relate to hate or anger or bitterness, unforgiveness. That's out of his character. It's not absolutely not a part of who he is. And so if you want relationship with God, those things have to go. And love has to invade, because then you can have that relationship that is mutual. He can relate to you and you can relate to him. We can't relate to a God that is love unless we give in to love. And we can't love unless he empowers us to do it. It's a really awesome thing. It is by his indwelling in us that we're able to love on that level. Walk in love. So you walk in it. It's something you do daily. Every moment, we should be aware of love, because love lives in us. Love lives in you. It is one with you. John 17:20 says that you are one with God. One. You are intrinsically, I can't even say it. You're one with him, melded together, and nothing can separate you. Because love, the love of God is more powerful than any other force. But you choose. We choose. We choose. We choose what we want. So we can choose to love or we can choose to hate. Be careful what you choose. Because if you want relationship with God, you need to choose love. So this is something we walk in every day. We walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So did you get that? So we are to walk in love just as Christ also loved us and gave himself up. That means we're to give ourselves up for other people, just like Christ. And as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. That seems good to the Father. When you're all about love, because love is what restores people. It heals. It does all those things that I mentioned before. Love penetrates the heart. So does anger and jealousy and resentment. That penetrates too. So what happens when, with all this rioting and killing that's going on, what happens? Offense breeds offense. Violence breeds violence. Anger breeds anger. Resentment breeds resentment. What does love breed? What does love do? You get love. You get peace. You get joy. You get forgiveness. You get all good things. So we're not to walk in all of these things that are happening, I want to encourage you to check your heart. It's time for a heart check for the church across America, across the world. We need a heart check. We need to see the heart doctor. We need to be filled with, because we are filled with God's Spirit, who is filled with love. And if you're not feeling love, if you're not feeling the power of love and wanting more, we need to crave it. We need to crave it. Crave that love, because it's the more you crave love, the more you sink into relationship with God and with each other. And when I see my brother stumble, there's no pointing the finger and say, "Oh, I thought he would do that," or "I'm not surprised," or "Oh, for goodness sakes, you know, surely he could have done better, or she," or we need to stop that and go to them and say, "How can I pray for you? What can I do for you to make your life better? How can I help you?" Whatever gift God has given you, whatever spiritual gift God has put in you, it's for the well-being of another. It's not for you. Their gifts are for you. That gift is for them. Use your gifts to bring well-being, to bring healing, to bring peace, to lift, to break the bondage of the enemy, to restore the destruction that has been wrought in their hearts. We're going to do some ministry right now. I feel like the Lord really wants to work on our hearts. We're also going to pray for physical healing, but we want to shift. And one of the things I sense that is really rising really strongly in America is fear and suspicion, so that we don't feel safe wherever we go. You know, I've even thought about it, going to a movie theater because of what happened a couple years ago. You know, this guy shoots up a movie theater. It's like there's no place we can go. Post office, it doesn't matter. I don't want to think of that all the time. I want to be free to go to Georgia and have a wonderful time and not think of those things. And I did. So we need to let go of fear. We need to let go of anger, judgment, anything that separates you from the love of God. So I just invite you right now, if you have fear, I just want you to raise your hand and don't be shy, because this is a time to get free. If you have fear, good, I got a fearless crowd. Right here. Okay. So you want to come forward? Anybody, did you have fear, or you just... Yeah. Oh, he's got children. Chris, if you could minister to him. Anybody else have fear issues? Can be fear of anything. Fear is fear. All has the same definition. Okay, another thing I feel like we should hit is anger. Any anger, if you have road rage, if you have like your default is anger, I want you to come forward. Fear, okay. I'd like to call the healing team up, please. And any pastors that would like to join us. I'm hearing anxiety. Anyone here have anxiety, like panic attacks, that kind of thing? If anybody here has trouble loving or feeling loved, like I feel like there's something holding you back, being unable to feel love or to give love, to receive it or give it. Anybody here like that?
So a few days ago, God gave me a few words of what's on his heart lately. And it's just amazing how perfect it is for this moment. He said, "Pent up, restrained, my love is being suffocated. It longs for, desires, no, it requires breathing room. Millions upon millions reject my free treasures of a passion and true love beyond all they could comprehend. I need to pour it out, and you need to receive it. I have the same amount of unconditional love for everyone that can only be given as much as it is allowed. Beloved, I long to love you because I am love. I want you to experience all of me at every second of every year for the rest of your life and into eternity. So what are you waiting for? What offer is greater than this? Is there really anything else your soul and spirit need to survive?"
Awesome.
Thank you.
like to shift into some physical things going on. And the first word I just now heard is blood. Does somebody have like anemia or blood? Is some issue with your blood? Something going on? I'm going to come on up. I keep hearing the word kidney. Does anybody have any issues with one of their kidneys? Does anybody here struggle with doubts? Doubt that you can, that God loves you, that you have a call on your life, that you just doubts in general, or that you can walk out that call. Anybody struggle with doubts? Seeing an elbow. Does anybody have elbow issues? Even a skin issue on the elbow. If you have any other physical or emotional, spiritual needs that you'd like prayed for, I want you to come on up. We're going to spend the remaining time just praying. And in the meantime, if you'd like to pray blessing over each other and break off any cursing that has happened to that person, I invite you to start just praying for each other, speaking blessing where there's been cursing, and breaking off negativity and speaking the positive. So I just invite you to just pray for, start praying for each other. want to thank you all for coming out. And I just want to remind you to speak a word of comfort. Pass out love. Be love. Don't just talk about it. Be it. And I just want to bless you. Father, I just bless everybody here. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your peace. I thank you that you never get out of our boat. You're always in our boat. No matter what it looks like, how rocky the storm gets, how shaky the boat feels, or how, even if it takes on water, you're still in our boat. And we cannot sink in that place. As you bring comfort to every heart here with an abundance that they have comfort to give. And I bless you all in Jesus' name.